I want to thank everybody who's giving online, all of our online members. Salute to you. We are blessed to have you watching with us online. Church is growing fast, right? And there's a bunch of us here, but there's about 95 of us in our church now. So it's growing really fast. The online members, we're very appreciative for you. Let me see here. Show them what we're talking about tonight. What does it say on the screen? Are you getting prepared? 3 days of darkness. Anybody ever heard about the 3 days of darkness? It's very common right now. A lot of people are talking about it because we just moved into the month where it is predicted that it will happen. So I'm going to show you one of the most famous predictions about the 3 days of darkness. And when I'm talking about the 3 days of darkness, I'm not referring specifically to what happened during the Exodus. There is a prediction that there will be an additional 3 days of darkness coming up either this month or next month. Now, we don't believe what people say. We believe what people do. So we're going to look and see what was done, and we're going to trust in the scriptures instead of trusting in the people's opinions. But let me show you this prediction that was given. This is one of the most famous ones. Go ahead, show them a slide. This is attributed to the Italian mystic Anna Maria Taggi from 1768, and she died in 1837. This is what she said. I know it's a little small, but stick with me. It says, there shall come over the whole earth an intense darkness lasting 3 days and three nights. Nothing can be seen, and the air will be laden with pestilence, which will claim mainly, but not only, the enemies of religion. It will be impossible to use any man-made lighting during this darkness, except blessed candles. That sounds suspect to me. I don't know about y'all, but that's suspect. It says, he who out of curiosity opens his window to look out or leaves his home will fall dead on the spot. During these 3 days, people should remain in their homes, pray the rosary. See, I told you, it sounded more and more suspect. As we go, it's more suspect. It says, and beg God for mercy. All the enemies of the church, whether known or unknown, will perish over the whole earth during that universal darkness, with the exception of a few whom God will soon convert. The air shall be infected by demons who will appear under all sorts of hideous forms. Okay, why am I showing you that? Because there are very many people in the world worried about this thing taking place, because it is prophesied that these 3 days of darkness will take place over a Thursday, a Friday, and a Saturday. Possibly in the month of March. That's the month we're in now, right? The month of March 2024. Let me show you part of the reason why. Go ahead and show them a slide. There is something coming up, but it's not coming up in March. This is the 2024 solar eclipse calendar. We have not had a total solar eclipse, I believe, since 2017. This one is coming, and it's going to be the biggest total solar eclipse that we have seen in like 400 years or something like that. This is predicted to take place on April 8th. But most people are thinking March is coming around and the 3 days of darkness are coming. We don't want to just fall for anything. We don't want to go onto YouTube and say, well, how do I get ready for this thing? And before you know it, you're all off on some other journey praying the rosary. Don't let me catch none of y'all with a rosary up in this piece. Okay. Let's see what the scriptures say about this situation. Give me Amos chapter 3, and let's begin at verse 7. Bring the beat down just a little bit more in the background. The scripture says, surely Adonai Elohim will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. What does that mean? He ain't going to do nothing unless he has revealed what he's going to do to his servants, the prophets. What does that mean? If something's going to happen, it needs to be documented. There needs to be how many witnesses? Two or three witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Okay, so we have a prediction made by a non-Israelite that there's going to be a 3 days of darkness. Do we immediately believe that, or do we search the scriptures? Because he's not going to do anything unless he's revealed it to his servants. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's look at verse 9. The scripture says, that thing that hath been, what is it? It is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is how many? There is no new thing under the sun. Okay. If somebody comes up and they're like, look at this, it's a new thing. Give me the next verse. Verse 10, it says, is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Does that make sense? What does that mean in relation to 3 days of darkness? Have we ever had 3 days of darkness before? Yes, we have. We have. Okay, so we might have to take this a little bit more seriously as we dive in and find out. Give me verse 11. It says, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. That means you don't remember what happened before, and you don't remember what's going to happen after this time, but there's no new thing. Okay, so let's see. That thing which hath been is that thing which shall be. And I think I distinctly remember Yahweh Shai warning us about a time of darkness. Let's take a look at the original 3 days of darkness and see if we can learn anything from that about what might happen to us. Give me Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. Let me give you the context on this. There was a bunch of plagues. How many? I heard two different numbers. How many plagues? Ten. Ten plagues. You guys know what the darkness is? It's plague number 9. You know what happens after the 3 days of darkness? Plague number 10. Now, who knows what it was? It's very important to you. Death of the firstborn, and that accompanies the Passover. The Passover is coming up next month on Monday the 22nd, according to the new moon calendar. Okay, so this 3 days of darkness that is being discussed here in Exodus is starting to line up a little bit with the 3 days of darkness that is being prophesied. So now we got to pay a little bit more attention. Scripture says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. You know what kind of darkness that is? That's that peanut butter darkness. It's thick. That's that thick darkness right there. You touching it. You're like, wait, this is weird. It's like, okay, now watch. Give me this next verse. It says, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. For how long?
3 days.
3 days. Okay, so we do have a witness about this 3 days of darkness. Give me verse 23. Let's find out what it was like. It says, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. That line is very important, because when you first read that, what do you think? Nobody went out of their house, right? That's not what it's saying. I'm going to show you a precept. It's not saying that nobody went out of their house. It's saying nobody could move. Nobody moved for 3 days. I know that because of the precept. It says neither rose any from his place. So if you was out there running, you just fell down. Boom. And you stayed in that spot for 3 days. But look at this line right here. This is my favorite part. It says, but all the children of Israel, what do we have? We had light in our dwellings. We had that light. What's the light? Okay, we had that. Okay, that's good. So did 3 days of darkness happen before? Yes, it did. This was the 9th plague. It happened right before the Passover. The death of the firstborn was the 10th plague. And then shortly after that, literally the next day, we went out of captivity. You guys see a picture starting to form here? Because I don't know if you noticed, but we're living in the last days. We should be preparing every available moment for the second Exodus. I know some of y'all probably thought you was going to get poofed. Poofed. There's no poofing. If there's no poofing, then you're going to have to get ready for something to take place. The same way we walked out of our captivity the first time is the way that we're going to walk out of this captivity this second time. And what happened before the captivity was over? 3 days of darkness. Okay. This is the reason, you know, Yahweh Shai, he told you, no man knows when, but there's something that you need to do. These two things are really one thing. He said, I want you to watch and pray. That means you got to have one eye open. You're like, I'm praying, Yahweh, show me what these people doing out here. Show me what they doing, what they putting in my food. I need to know every single thing I can know about what's going on so that I'm prepared and I'm ready.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now let me remind you, Tuesday, April 9th is the new moon, but April 8th is the day of the total solar eclipse. So do you guys know what month is coming up in just a few days? The first month of the year. So when did the 3 days of darkness take place? They took place. It was the first thing that happened in the year. When and during the time of the Exodus, we went out of the last year. And he says, this month Abib shall be the first year, right? The first month to you. And the first thing that we experienced was the darkness. And then 14 days later, we had the Passover. And then the very next day, we had freedom from our captivity. We are entering into a time period that looks exactly like that. Because this year, the Passover is on Monday, April 22nd. Give me John chapter 8, verse 12. Because that verse we just read said the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What does it say on the screen? Then spake Yahawashi again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What do you need to have in order to have light in your dwelling? You need to have Yahawashi. Yeah, it's good that you have the law, but if you only know the law, you're missing a whole portion of it. You're missing the testimony. And we need to be people of the law and the testimony. That means I have my instructions on what I'm supposed to do, but I also have faith in the one who told me to do it. He's not gonna fail. He has never lost a battle. So I'm just gonna follow what he said. I don't need to turn to the right or to the left. I just need to stay focused on what he told me. Give me Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Now, I know that you know that I know that you know. Yeah. That the law is the light. Let me show you what it says leading up to that, because it's related to the darkness. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. What do we have in that verse? We have the commandment and the law. Those are the focuses. Give me verse 21. He says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Why are you doing that? So everywhere you go, they go with you, but because they're in front of you, they're going to lead you. So everywhere they go, you go. Okay? Give me verse 22. That's what it says next. It says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. You wake up. When you wake up from this 400-year nightmare of not knowing who you are, when you wake up, you're going to need some instructions. And your instruction is written right in here. It tells you how to love the Most High, how to love his people, how to keep the commandments, what to do if you slip up and fall. It tells you everything that you need. It's going to talk with you. One of the problems is we don't like to spend a lot of time talking with it, right? If your conversation is one-sided, like all you need is, let me just read 3-4 verses real quick and then I'm going to put it down. I'm talking to it, but I'm not allowing it to talk back to me. That's a one-sided relationship. We need to spend some time making sure that I'm getting out of here what I need. And I need some instructions because this world is going crazy. Now watch this. Give me verse 23. It says, for the commandment is what? And the law is what? And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay, so when it said that the children of Israel had light in their dwellings, they had the presence. They had the instruction. That's what you're going to need. You're going to need the presence and the instruction in order to lead you out of the darkness. Now, I'm going to show you a selection of scriptures from Jasher. I don't often go into the book of Jasher, but there's some additional information regarding these 3 days of darkness that we need to see in this section. Because this is going to be instruction for us. This is Jasher chapter 80. And I'm going to start at verse 36 and we're going to read through 41. Jasher 36, chapter 80, verse 36 says, and Yah sent darkness upon Egypt, that the whole land of Egypt and Pathros became dark for 3 days, so that a man could not see his hand when he lifted it to his mouth. Whew, that's that real darkness, right? You might as well have your eyes closed. Give me verse 37. Watch. It says, at that time died many of the people of Israel. Let's pause there. Oh, see, it didn't give you that instruction before. You mean we were dying? Yeah, you know, because what is Israel known for being? Disobedient, stiff-necked, rebellious people. So somebody came and said, hey, it's about to be dark for 3 days. And he's like, later for that. I got a flashlight. Your flashlight's not going to help you. This is that thick darkness. Now watch, it says, at that time died many of the people of Israel who had rebelled against Adonai and who would not hearken to Moses and Aaron and believed not in them that Yah had sent them. So they would not heed the warning of the messengers. They decided to continue being stiff-necked and disobedient, and they died. Many Israelites died during those 3 days. Give me this next verse. This is verse 38. It says, and who had said, we will not go forth from Egypt, lest we perish with hunger in a desolate wilderness. And who would not hearken to the voice of Moses. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is the commandment. This is what Yahweh Shai told you that you're supposed to do. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, you need to flee. Ain't that right? There's going to be some Israelites who are like, I ain't going nowhere. Ain't no TV out there. There are no McDonald's. I'm not going to leave. They're going to die. They're going to perish because they're disobedient. We are commanded to watch and pray, see what is happening in the world, see what the word is saying to us, and be ready to forsake all so that we can obtain the kingdom. If we don't do that, we will perish the same way these Israelites perish. Now watch, verse 39, it says, and Yahweh plagued them in the 3 days of darkness, and the Israelites buried them in those days without the Egyptians knowing of them or rejoicing over them. So it was so dark that couldn't nobody see nothing. But what does it say? What do we have? We had light. Okay, but if I went over to my brother's house and it was all dark over there, I would know instantly, oh, he doesn't keep the commandments. He doesn't have the law and the testimony. He's being disobedient, and the Most High is going to put him to death. And I need to bury him during the darkness. That's what happened. So we buried a gang of people, some of our loved ones. Give me this next verse. Verse 40 says, and the darkness was very great in Egypt for 3 days. And any person who was standing when the darkness came, what happened to him? Remained standing in his place. My dude was mobbing, right? He was just mobbing. And just, bah. For 3 days, he was just stuck in that spot. That's what it says. I didn't make it up. Watch. Let's keep reading. It says, remained standing in his place. And he that was sitting remained sitting. And he that was lying continued lying in the same place. Now watch. And he that was walking remained sitting upon the ground in the same spot. What happened to him? He was walking and the darkness hit and he just fell down to the ground. He was there for 3 days. That's what the verse meant when it said no man rose out of his place for 3 days. So you can see this is a supernatural darkness that's taking place, right? This ain't that regular cut out the lights darkness. I haven't paid my electric bill darkness. This is some special darkness. It says, and this thing happened to all the Egyptians until the darkness had passed away. What did he do? He made everyone stand still. Give me this next verse, verse 41. It says, and the days have passed away, and Adonai sent Moses and Aaron to the children of Israel, saying, celebrate your feast and make your Passover. For behold, I come in the midst of the night among all the Egyptians, and I will smite all their firstborn, from the firstborn of a man to the firstborn of a beast. And when I see your Passover, what will I do? I will pass over you. When I see your obedience to the commandment that I have set forth, you guys know it wasn't written down. This is an oral commandment at this point. It was spoken by the mouth of the Most High into Moses, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and everybody who was not disobedient and stiff-necked who kept this commandment, even though it was not written, they lived. That's what happened. Okay? Right after the 3 days of darkness is the Passover, and then the Exodus begins. Everybody with me so far? You see why we had to get that information. Okay. Now we see how the scripture is making this whole thing line up. So we need to make sure that we have what? What is this one thing that we're going to need? I can't tell you for sure if there's going to be 3 days of darkness. I know it lines up with what the scripture is saying. I'm not going to tell you, hey, you better do this or you better do that. You better get some more batteries. The darkness is thick. What's the batteries going to do? Cut through the darkness? No. I'm telling you to be prepared because the Most High has done this before. And that thing which hath been is that thing which shall be. If you are expecting him to deliver you from your captivity, there's something that you need to be ready. Because if I stay ready, y'all know I ain't got to get ready. I stay ready, bro. I was ready today. Take me back into these scriptures. Give me Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Now let's see how many of these verses are related to this darkness and us coming out of it. What does it say on the screen? It says, "Arise and shine, for the light has come. And the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee." Verse 2. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Why? Because what you got? You got that light in you. You got that light. You're the children of light. You're not walking in darkness anymore. There needs to be a difference between the you right now and the you that you used to be, because you used to be that darkness. So it makes sense. You was a thick darkness too, causing other people to stumble. That's how you know you was darkness. Give me verse 3. Look what it says. He's talking to Israel, and he says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Who's going to see you shining? Everybody going to see you shining. And what they going to say? "I don't want to die. I want to live too." So they're going to see me, and then what they going to do? How they going to know I'm an Israelite? They're going to see them fringes, and what they going to do? They're going to grab hold on the fringes, and they're going to say something specific. "We will come with you, for we have heard that Yahweh is with you." Why? Because they see your light shining. If they don't see your light shining, they're not going to know who to go to. So you need to make sure that you are being the light. You guys know there's a picture of this exact thing, the 3 days of darkness before we were delivered out of captivity. There is one line related to Yahweh Shai. I want you to see what it says. It's a very small picture. Matthew 27. And give me verse 45. Yahweh Shai is hanging there on the tree. The scripture says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." How many hours are between 6 and 9? 3 hours. There was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. Why? Because that is a small picture that before you will be free, there will be a time of darkness. You guys see that, right? The sixth hour is 12 noon and the ninth hour is 3 p.m. So there was darkness for 3 hours starting when? At 12 noon. Look at the precept. Give me Amos chapter 8, verse 9. The scripture says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Adonai Elohim, that I will cause the sun to go down." When? At noon. We need to be paying attention to these things. "I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." That's what hour, do you guys remember? What hour is that? The sun's going to go down at the sixth hour. The sixth hour is 12 noon. Give me one more verse in here. Give me verse 10. He says, "And I will turn your feasts into mourning." You saw what it said in the previous verse? The sun's going to go down at noon. And what's the next thing he's going to do? He's going to turn your feast into mourning. What feast would that be? That's the Passover. That's the Passover, that's unleavened bread. Isn't that what happened in the 3 days of darkness before? The sun went down in the middle of the day, and then the feasts were turned into mourning. Not for us, we kept the commandments. Okay, so these scriptures are showing us a picture of something that has already happened so that we can know what is going to happen. I had explained recently in one of our YouTube videos that most people think that the year is when? 2024, I thought somebody was going to say 2023. You know how we have that stuck in our head. 2024, but I explained that the year is actually closer to 5,994. If I open up my phone and I try to find what time is it on a Hebrew calendar, it's going to tell me that it's the year 5,874, something like that. It's off by 210 years. The reason for that is a discrepancy, because when we stopped keeping our own time in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and we all fled, ain't nobody keeping track of the time no more. So we lost track of time. And there's a discrepancy between the building of the first temple and the building of the second temple. There's a discrepancy between how long we were actually in Egypt versus how long we were enslaved in Egypt. The amount of the discrepancy is exactly 210 years. When I take those 210 years and I add it to the year that they say it is on the Hebrew calendar, I get 5,994. That gives me exactly how many years before the year 6,000? 6 years. I have exactly 6 years from right now today. If every day is 1,000 years, I'm living in the sixth day. And what happens at the end of the sixth day? I go into the seventh day in which Yahawashi will return. That's why this information is important. It is lining up for us on the Most High's calendar. It's not a coincidence that 3 days of darkness before Passover, and Passover is about a month and a half, 2 months away from now. We need to start getting ready for whatever happens. If we're people of faith, we need to be ready in faith for whatever happens. Does that make sense? Okay, now take me back to this verse right here. I didn't even finish. It says, and I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. That don't sound good to me at all. The feast is going to come. The feast is going to become a time of sorrow. We need to prepare our hearts and our minds for that situation. Now, here's an interesting thing, because that prophecy was given by an Italian woman, and an Italian woman is technically a Gentile. Is it possible for the Gentiles to prophesy? I know some Israelites who say, nope, it ain't possible. All prophecy belonged to Israel. Give me Joel chapter 2, verse 28. I want to show you what happens in these last days. You have to be careful what you're listening to, because sometimes who you thought was your enemy, they're actually speaking the word. And sometimes who you thought was your brother or sister, they're actually speaking the words of the enemy. Okay? Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We're going to find out if it's possible for a Gentile to prophesy. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon who? Just men? No, it says all flesh. So women are going to get the spirit also, right? Okay, watch this. All flesh. All Israelites? Nope. All flesh. Okay. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So Israelites, we're going to prophesy. That's what it means, right? Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. Look at this next line, though. Give me verse 29. It says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Who's that? Who were the servants and handmaids of Israel? Those are Gentiles. Those are the other nations. They're going to receive the spirit, too. So you have to be careful who you are listening to today. Just because they say they're Israel and they look like Israel doesn't mean that they're speaking the word of the Most High. And just because they don't look nothing like Israel doesn't mean that you need to discount what they're talking about. We need to be wise as, but harmless as. Okay, now watch this. Let's finish this one up. It says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Give me verse 30. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Give me verse 31. This is obscure. The sun, what's going to happen to the sun? It's going to be turned into darkness. Most of the times when you read that, you think, how long? You ever thought about how long? Well, how long was it before? It was 3 days. He said the sun shall be turned into darkness. Maybe he means 3 days again. And the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of Yahweh come. Now, this is a dual prophecy. The great day is when Yahawashi was born. The terrible day is when he comes back. That is not one day. He's not saying the great and terrible day. He's saying before the great day and before the terrible day. I'm going to give you a sign before his first coming, and I'm going to give you another sign before his second coming. Everybody see that? Give me one more verse there. Verse 32, it says, and it shall come to pass, this is that part that I like, that whosoever, who's included in that? Everybody, anybody, whosoever, but they got to do something though. Whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. What they got to do? What do you need to do before you can call on his name? You need to know it, okay? And then you need to believe in it. And somebody needs to be sent to you. How can they preach except they be sent? Does that make sense? So there's some requirements that have to take place, because there's a whole bunch of people trying to call on the name and nobody has been sent to them to bring them into the relationship. They don't know the name. They're calling on a counterfeit, right? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh hath said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. That's us. You have to be called to come into this situation. When you are called, you're called specifically out of darkness. You know what the scripture says? We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have all spent a lot of time in darkness. And here's the important part. We all have some family members, some co-workers, some loved ones that are still in the darkness. But you are being called to bring them out of the darkness with the light that is in you. It's more important now than it ever has been before. Why? Because we see these signs stacking up. Whereas other people in the world, they don't know what's going on. They're just doing whatever they've always been doing. Scrolling on the internet, watching cat videos. I don't know what these people are doing, but we need to be getting ready for his return. Let me show you what happened to Paul. Because what happened to Paul is the same thing that happened to you. What was Paul? Paul was converted. You guys remember that? He had a conversion. What happened when he got converted? What was the first? Not the first thing. The first thing was that Yahweh Shai spoke to him and knocked him to the ground. When Paul got up, what was he? And he couldn't see, right? He was in darkness. And then Paul got sent to Ananias so that Ananias could heal his blindness so that he could be the light. You are that same thing. You've been in blindness. You've been walking in darkness for a long time. But now that you got the light in you, you have a mandate. It's written here. Give me Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is what you're supposed to do. It says, but rise. Now, if you were reading this in your King James Bible, even though this is in the book of Acts, this is in red. This is Yahweh Shai's instruction. This is what he said to Paul. But he's also saying it to you. What does he tell him to do? Quawam. Quawam, Yasharala. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. What did he bring you into the truth for? To make you a minister and a witness. That's what you're supposed to be from this point forward. You are a minister and a witness. What's the name of your ministry? Say it loud. Reconciliation. You are a minister of reconciliation. That's the only ministry that there is. Reconciliation. There's some people that have gone astray from the Most High. You know that the sword is coming. He made you a watchman. You need to get those people to come back to him before the sword comes and takes somebody away. Amen. Give me verse 17. He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Who am I sending you to? The people. What people? Israel. And the Gentiles. I'm sending you to the people. That's the people of the book. That's Israel. And to the Gentiles. You see that? What it says, right? Give me verse 18. Look at what your commandment is. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto Yah, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You need to focus on this right here. This is your mandate. Once you are awake, he handed you some marching orders. And those marching orders are, your eyes are open. You need to open other people's eyes and pull them out of the darkness. So what should I do? What I got to do? 3 days of darkness coming up. I need to watch and pray. I need to prepare too. I need to prepare. You guys don't have to raise your hands, but raise your hands if starting tomorrow morning, you could be fine in your house for the next 3 days without leaving. You're good. Yeah? Some of y'all ready? Some preppers in here? That's good. I need some more Kool-Aid. I need to buy toilet paper. You guys know how it's going to get crazy. You don't even need all that toilet paper. Okay. We need to be prepared for anything because we know we are living in the last days. You can't be like, yeah, it's the last days and the Son of Man is returning. And if he comes right now, I'm not ready. You need to be like, I'm ready. Whether I have to stay here or whether I have to bug out, I have a place to go. I have some people that love me, some people that I love. Either way, I'm prepared. On April 8th, when that eclipse comes, if it gets dark in the sky and then it comes back to light and nothing happens, good. What were you? I was prepared. Okay, if the sun goes down at 12 in the afternoon on April 8th and it does not come back up, what are you going to be? Prepared. You need to be prepared. Let me, what you got?
So if it goes down for 3 days, is that a sign for us to leave?
No, that's not the sign. So the question that he asked for those that are watching online, he said, if the sun goes down for 3 days and it does not come back up, is that the sign for us to leave? No, that is not. What is the sign for us to leave? When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, there's somebody in the back over there who's scratching their head saying, what? What does that mean? When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now you know. So you have to be watching what is happening. I don't know if you guys remember this, but so-called Israel and Palestine, what are they? Best buddies right now? They're in the middle of a war. Now, they're not showing it anymore. It's not news. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It's still happening. We are still living in a time of war. So we need to be watching and praying and ready to go at any time. Amen. Show them a slide real quick. You guys are probably going to want to take a look at this one. This is specifically a list regarding getting prepared for a three-day emergency. This is practical information. You got it back there? You'll get it. Here's an interesting thing. When you watch what the government is doing in these types of situations, it'll clue you into some interesting information. So right at that same time, they're planning to close the schools for 3 days during the time of the eclipse. Like in Texas, they're going to be closing the schools anywhere where it's passing over. They're saying it's so that they can enjoy the eclipse. You going to close the schools for 3 days, saying it so that they can enjoy a 4-minute eclipse? Nah, I don't know. I think something else is going on at that moment right there. You got that slide for me real quick? No, don't worry about it. Listen to me. Look, a 3-day emergency preparedness kit will be useful for most disasters. If you're gathering the essential items that could be needed and putting them in one location, it will help you and your household through the worst of any emergency. So I have a short-term preparedness kit. It should include, of course, food, water, personal hygiene items, flashlights. They're not going to work. I'm just going to let y'all know. Blankets, other essential recommended items for emergencies. The food supply that you select and you set it aside should be non-perishable items. What is a non-perishable item? It's not going to go bad. Select foods that require no refrigeration, minimal or no preparation or cooking, and little to no water. If you have to heat food, make sure you put it away before eating it. Pack a grill, pack a camp stove or some type of ignition source. Manage your supply. Let me just give you guys a couple more ideas. Ready to eat canned meats, fruits, vegetables, canned juices, milk, soup, sugar. But we also have to be thinking about, for those that have special needs, like if I was diabetic, would I be able to get through the next 3 days? Bro, I got stacks of ammo. I got so many weapons. I'm good. But did I pack insulin? Am I really ready if I get a headache? Am I prepared for these situations? We need to be prepared for every possible situation. Because if that 3 days turns into 5 days, are we still ready or are we putting our hands down? Right? If those 5 days turn into 10 days, are we knocking on the neighbor's door, hoping that they're not home? All right. Let me show you one last verse because I know it's getting late. Give me Mark chapter 13, verse 32. The scripture says, but of that day and that hour, of that what?
Day and hour.
Day and hour. Does it say month? Nope. Why does it not say month? Because we can figure out the month. We can figure it out because the Most High has given us a timeline, right? Okay. But of that day and that hour, how is it that it says knoweth no man? How is it possible that no man knows the day or the hour? Because the times have been changed. Because the times have been changed. The names of the months have been changed. The days of the week have been changed. The hours have been changed. If it had been written in the scripture that it's going to happen on a Tuesday at 12 noon, it would not be Tuesday at 12 noon for everybody in the world. Because it's not Tuesday at 12 noon everywhere all at the same time. No man knows the day nor the hour. It says, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Give me one last verse, verse 33. He says, take ye heed. What's that mean? You better get prepared. Take heed. Listen to what is being told to you. Pay attention to what you have seen before and don't just talk about it. Be about it. Take ye heed. Watch and pray. That first line says, get prepared, but be looking and be praying. For ye know not when the time is. Amen. This is the message that I have for you tonight.